Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast. I'm the managing editor of Money, Vanessa Walker, and I'm here today to talk to Paolo Cerroni. Paolo is a global research leader in banking and finance markets at the IBM Institute for Business Value. It's a mouthful. Basically, it means he's the go-to guy for insights into AI and banking. Welcome, Paolo.
Thanks for the invitation to speak to your audience. It's important to me.
Our pleasure. Right, let's dive in. AI is changing the way that banks operate globally. Can you outline for us the positive innovations users are experiencing across the banking sector?
Very good question. So let's try to picture what happened in terms of the transformation of banking while using technology that impacted the way people consume financial services. If we go back like 10, 15 years, we see clear trends happening. First of all, around 2008, when the global financial crisis started, is also when the smartphone was invented. And people started using more and more digital in terms of creating interactions, and expect that to happen also with banking. And banks were actually capturing this trend as they needed to restructure their operations. In essence, they started closing or rationalizing branches. And that was a period of digitalization outright in terms of investment in technology, sort of lift and shift the branches on different operations and infrastructure. So it was more investment in cloud technology. Now would be considered hybrid cloud. That didn't really change that much the user experience. So people just started connecting to the bank on a mobile app. And then, of course, bank realized that they needed to help the consumers to direct themselves more clearly onto those digital apps. The screen of our iPhone becomes extremely busy as time goes by. And that's where banks learned how to invest in artificial intelligence, for example, machine learning, in essence, to create more personalization, to make sure that the consumers could reach out to the bank in more efficient ways. So you see, we move from a period of digitalization outright into a period of personalization. However, there's something that all realized, the bankers and the customers, and is that sometimes clients need more conversations in order to make more kind of financial decisions. And personalization on passive apps is not enough. And if something generative AI is known for, that is language, so communication. So what we're seeing now is a third phase of investment in technology powered by AI and generative AI, which is communication. So digitalization, personalization, and now communication to build more thoughtful and valuable conversations between the bank and the client intermediated by the digital medium. And if you like, if you want to project a bit further, we are seeing a new trend starting, which is the one of a platformization, maybe. We'll have a chance of discussing a bit more during the podcast. That means how now you position those apps inside the ecosystem of your customers in a way that you're more relevant within their daily life or their daily operations when they're running their business. So we're moving from outright digitalization through personalization into communication and soon towards platformization. And AI is always essential to make sure that everything operates smoothly.
Wow, that was a great overview of the last, 20 years in banking? Great. So, of course, AI has got lots of positive aspects, but it's also creating new risks. Can you share some of the ways AI is threatening customer security?
Well, power comes with responsibility. Of course, when things change, new risks are exposed, and sometimes it's tough to basically picture what can happen ahead. IBM has always been researching about this because security is a priority. And every year we release a report called The Cost of a Data Breach. And then we investigate on the one side what banks do, on the other side what happens at the level of the consumers. And what we learned in 2024 is that the most common initial attack vector for the compromise security of a client is phishing. or stolen credentials. And now you see the power of AI is not just in the hands of the good actors like the financial institutions or the fintech, it's also in the hands of the drug dealers that creates a new ways of phishing information from consumers and use them to their nasty benefit. Now, to put that into perspective, in this cost of a data breach report, we also analyze what is the cost that financial institutions face when one of these breaches occurs. Now, the industry that has the highest cost of a data breach is actually healthcare. That accelerated through the pandemic as a lot of data was exposed, as people were using it in different ways. But it has been there a lot substantially for a while. But the number one is financial services. Globally, the cost of a data breach on average is just above $6 million of US dollars. In Australia, for Australian banks, that's a bit less, more or less half that number, so which is okay. So sort of an advantage, if you like. But there is a problem for all. The problem is that when these breaches compromise more than 50 million records, the cost of a data breach can skyrocket to more than 300 million. And that is also exposing financial institutions in Australia to potential substantial losses in case their system is not strongly protected in terms of potential data breaches, which occur sometimes at the level of the clients themselves. Now, something that is important here to consider, therefore, is not only how banks can help their clients to better understand the importance of certain behaviors to protect their data points, but also how can banks interact with the problem by detecting faster, understanding faster, and remediate it, wouldn't say instantly, but at the speed of light. And that is, again, where AI and automation play a key role. So we've seen that institutions that can use AI to perform detection and remediation, they can do that by half the time compared to other institutions, which is a clear advantage because the faster it takes to understand, identify, remediate, the lower is the cost, and therefore the lesser is the impact on the final consumers.
Agentic AI. So for listeners who are learning this term for the first time, it refers to AI that is able to make decisions and achieve outcomes completely independently of humans. It's a kind of scary scenario for some of us. The term agentic AI is getting a lot of attention in banking. Do you have any, can you see how it may impact Australian banks in the next year or two, or is it a bit too premature to make those calls?
Well, I think that we're all starting to apply these techniques right now, but there's one thing that definitely affects Australian banks, which is talent. So what we are seeing is that the fight for talent is intensifying because we are pushing the bar higher and higher in terms of the competence of people to deal with technology in a very consistent and comprehensive way. And you can get there at the end of the process when everything is ready. You need to start early to acquire talents, to build culture in a way that you can benefit from the next wave of transformation. So I do believe that the Australian market needs to be thoughtful now already to understand what is the quality required and to facilitate that in terms of acquisition to stay ahead of the curve. Tomorrow may be too late.
All right, that's good for our readers to know. So the new workforce is going to be AI literate and native to a certain extent.
Definitely so. We'd actually say something even deeper. So in the 1990s, when the trend of systematized risk management started, CEOs of banks used to say that every banker is a risk manager because risk management is the core business of banking. Now, I like to say that every banker must be an AI risk manager because this technology becomes more and more probabilistic in nature, so less, you know, rule-based and deterministic. So it requires a high level of understanding of how to deal with technology in different terms. So all employees need to be leveled up in their capability to deal with technology in these new ways. And of course, some may be tasked with a higher order if you like, of problems in terms of the capability to interact, but it's a shift that needs to involve everyone in the organization to become an AI risk manager.
Wow. So banks with strong technology are obviously pulling ahead globally. You're in the unique position of being able to see banking from a global perspective. What do you think Australian banks need to do to stay competitive, especially as they scale AI?
Well, there's something peculiar which is happening in Australian banking right now. We mentioned earlier on the fact that the financial crisis started in 2008 with the default of Lehman Brothers, which had dire consequences in the capabilities of banks to stay efficient and performant worldwide. However, Australian banks, a bit like the Canadian banks, had for a long time a competitive advantage in terms of financial performance compared to banks in other parts of the world. And if you look at the last 15 years, you see that in the last 2 years after the pandemic, that advantage sort of vanished. And there are some reasons for that, while that got reabsorbed. Certainly, the normalization of interest rates, which occurred in other parts of the world that suffered negative or zero interest rates, leveled up again the playing field, where Australian banks used to have more space for maneuver, maintaining a bit higher margins. But also, we saw a progressive commoditization of retail banking that typically requires to apply banking at scale as the margins go down per customers. Now, the Australian market is definitely a small market compared to other parts of the world. So when you face commoditization and you operate in a smaller market, you lose basically your capability to control your performance and therefore need to focus out of volume into value. And that's where we see basically an important trend which is occurring, which I believe is extremely important for Australian banks. There is a segment that has been neglected by banks worldwide, which is particularly relevant for economies where the economies of scale are more constrained. And that is the small and medium enterprise market. So everything which is in between the consumer and the large corporate. And the reason is because the cost to serve of these markets tends to be very high. Why is that? Because if you are a bank and you look at the SMEs in front of you, you can talk to dentists, restaurants, lawyers, small IT shops. They're all very different with different characteristics. They participate to the economic cycle in a different form. And they don't have standardized data points like annual reports that a large corporate can have. So again, the onboarding you mentioned before of this client tends to be more onerous. So banks have a lot of manualities to go through, which means that the time it takes is longer. And once they make a decision, the rate that they price in front of the client for them to borrow the money needs to be higher because it needs to cover the risk as well as the cost of performing that operation. And also, this is typically the weakest part of the economy. When, you know, things go bad, they are the first to suffer. And worldwide, economies are becoming extremely, if you like, tensed because of everything which is happening in terms of the new trade battles. So all eyes on the SME market. Now, until the appearance of generative AI, I think that even AI was not so flexible and not so adaptive to be applied at the level of the cost to serve the SMEs in order to improve the capability of banks to serve, not only to reduce the cost, but also to pass some of this to the final clients in order to become more competitive. But now this is a possibility. And so what we see is that worldwide, there is an intensifying competition in the space of SME banking, and not just between banks, but also between banks and the new banks. We released an IBM Institute of Business Value Research in collaboration with the Banking Industry Architecture Network and with the expert contribution of the SME Finance Forum of the World Bank about banking for small and medium enterprises that tries to decode exactly what happens in this segment of the market. So I do believe that for Australian banks, this will be extremely relevant, understand how to apply technology at the level of the SME market to reduce the cost to serve and open for more services that can allow them to differentiate and to generate value for this ecosystem, which is extremely demanding and in need for better services.
Look, that's great to hear. Australian is a nation of small business owners.
It is.
With high compliance, and yet not many standardized systems to deliver.
You see, more than 50% of the GDP of Australia is generated by small and medium enterprises, yet they are the last to be served by, you know, technology applied to banking, and I guess the time is now.
Okay, so that was how banks are trying to stay competitive, and you say there's this big improvements they can hook into with small and medium-sized businesses. In what ways do banks need to change how they manage risk with AI?
Well, it's an important question because, first of all, it requires to have the appropriate technical foundations. And also the need, because there you need to apply governance, which becomes in action, not just a set of rules, but a set of capabilities. But also it requires a reconsideration about how the risk management function and the compliance function operate. Because the life cycle of technology is much faster than the way banks set up their processes, let's say in a traditional risk and compliance environment that was designed at a time where AI was not so relevant or not so pervasive. And that's the reason why, and I give you this prime thing, we are releasing a new report from the IBM Institute for Business Value at the end of June, which is discussing exactly the risk management with AI and the management of the risk of AI. So we try to decode what needs to happen at the level of the risk and compliance and validation function in a way that they can use AI to improve the accuracy of their processes, as well as interact with the broader organization to unleash the capability of scaling AI enterprise-wide. So I do believe that the secret sauce for AI to be scaled enterprise-wide by financial institution is a reconsideration of the role of the risk, compliance, and validation function by interacting with the platform that turns governance into action. Okay, so where effectively you can apply those new elements of control in real time in a way that you think about them as you're progressing and as you're developing AI. What we see often is that there is experimentation, there is AI modeling, there is attempt to bring that to life, but the control functions are not ready to do so. So you really need to shift left risk and compliance by using a technology platform that is capable of doing so, so that every time you develop a new model that is embedded since the very beginning, that will accelerate the capability to generate value.
It's a lot of moving parts, isn't it?
Well, it's a lot of moving parts, and somehow we said in the Global Outlook last year, it's like changing the wheel where the car is moving, right?
Yes, so yeah, that's a better analogy.
But that's why that requires a deliberate decision at the level of the CEO and the board. They have to be informed about that. And that is the role of the IBM Institute for Business Value, to help our clients and our audience connect the dots to make better informed business decisions. CEOs told us last year in a global survey, more than 67% of CEOs said that they must take more risks to take the advantages of AI automation and become more competitive. So they need to be helped to be taking those risks. And that's why we produce this research.
What key changes do you think Australian financial institutions should keep an eye on, especially in terms of innovation and any new opportunities?
I go back to something old to make it new. What do they do with their branches? Something that characterized the last 2 years is that for the first time, neobanks became profitable and with sustained profitability. We saw this starting with Sterling Bank in the UK. Then we saw Nubank in Brazil, 110 million customers, 30% return equity. Revolut in Europe became profitable as well. So the competition is really intensifying. And what these institutions now are trying to do is to move beyond the commoditization of payment and retail operations and get into higher margin businesses like wealth management and commercial banking, so banking for small and medium enterprises. So one thing still characterizes digitalized brick and mortar banks, which is relationships that were built through branches. And so it is important for banks to understand how to redesign the work of people in the branches or moving them out of the branches by giving them the capability to be, I use this word, augmented, so enriched, in a way that can be more effective in doing their job and strike the right conversation with the client. So now you see there's a wide space here for AI to be applied, not at the level of replacing people, but helping people to be more relevant with people. Okay, so that is, to me, extremely important and relevant. And again, the time is now because we see now that some of these neobank players are, if you like, strengthening their financial performance. So they're making the next inroad. And so banks need to act swiftly to stay competitive.
All right, that is fantastic information. Paolo, thank you so much for your time. It's been a revelation, I think, to our readers as well. It's been great having an expert their bird's eye view of AI, how it will affect banking. Thank you so much for your time.
The pleasure is mine. I'm always happy to work with Australians, and I just visited. Hope to be back anytime soon.
Lovely. All right. Thanks, Paolo.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.